valleys to define us or to capture us and to make us victims. Okay? God's called us to be victorious. God's called us to live a victorious life, to walk in victory. Okay? So I'm believing that. I know sometimes, you know, I know David wrote the scripture, "Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death." But, you know, one of the most powerful things about that scripture is what we leave out of that a lot of times. He says, "I walked through it. I didn't come there to stay. I didn't come there to stay." Wherever you are right now, whether that's good or bad, God never intended you to stay there. Oh, you missed that one. You see, because if it's bad, we want to get through it. We want out of it. If it's blessings and it's good, we want to stay in it. But what happens is the second eventually does just as bad for us as the first. It creates a grave. It creates a rut. Somebody said a rut is really just a grave with both ends knocked out of it. Somebody said that one time. God never made your life to be just a life all about ruts and all about being a victim and all about being tied to wherever you are or whatever you're about, good or bad. God will use. And we talk about a lot of this, and we've been dealing with a subject, talking in discipleship a lot to people about process. God will use the good, the bad, and the ugly to get you to where you need to go. It's not always God using the good to get you where you need to go. How many knows that you need some bad to get you where you need to go? All right? How would you ever know the sweet smell of victory without the painful agony of defeat? How would you know or understand or fathom the painful darkness of fear without knowing the victorious, you know, jubilation of faith? Okay? So God never intended us to stay where we are. God wants us to keep moving. God wants us to keep moving. He doesn't want us to stalemate in our faith. There are times and seasons that God says, "Be still and know that I'm God." But when God says, "Be still and know that I'm God," He's not saying, "I want you to sit down, fold your arms, and do nothing. I want you to keep loving me. I want you to keep serving me. I want you to keep living for me. I want you to keep dying for me. I want you to keep doing all the things you need to do while you're in process, while you're moving forward." Amen. Can somebody shout amen? God's talking to somebody right now in this room. He's talking to somebody right now in this room. Whether you acknowledge it or not, He's talking to somebody. So this story, I don't know if this story really has anything to do with this. I just thought it was a cool story, but it does have to do with process. It does have to do with expecting great things and experiencing great things. Yes. 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 Amen. And just became engaged. So I'm going to read you a short story. I'll read a couple of scriptures. By the Holy Spirit, will the Spirit, then we'll just share just briefly about that, a challenging word there, and that's it. We're not going to be lengthy, okay? But in the process, when we come to Jesus, and I pray everybody in here has come to Jesus. If you've not come to Jesus, if you've not surrendered at the cross, then make that your agenda. What a powerful way to end the old year and embrace the new year. To die out to your old and embrace your new. Embrace what is ahead of you. He said something, and we say this, it has become the word that we often say so many times, but it's more than a word. I hear other ministries, and I didn't even know other ministries use this, but I hear them say it too. The best is yet to come. Your best is ahead of you. I believe that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you believe it, say, I receive that. Because how many knows you can believe one thing, but you've got to receive. That's another thing, right? You can believe it, but you've got to receive it. You've got to wrap your heart around it and begin to walk in it, okay? So we start, when we come to Jesus, we start at point A. We end up somewhere at the end of our journey. So we come to Christ. This powerful seed of expectancy is sown in our heart. And we carry forth this seed in our heart. We carry forth this seed in our womb. And we become a people of expectancy. We become a people of expectancy. If you expect great things, then you'll do great things. Let me say that again. You got to turn your channel in and tune it in to the frequency, okay? You're like the old radio, you know, you got to tune it in. Some of you got some fuzz and buzz on your receivers, okay? You got to tune it a little bit more and receive. So it's powerful. You got to receive that word. So when Mary received that word, she said, "Let it be unto me as you have said." She received that word. She became expectant. She carried forth the salvation of the world inside of her womb. She was getting ready to birth what would birth her. She was getting ready to deliver what would deliver her. Do you see that? Down the road, she was going to deliver who would deliver her. She was going to incubate and carry in her womb that which was going to hold her and carry her throughout her life. What you're carrying in you is something great, so great you don't even understand what you are carrying inside of you. I'm sorry, I'm not mad when I preach like this. I'm excited. You don't walk away from a ball game saying, "Wow, that fan was really mad." Now, some of them do get mad. But I'm not mad. I'm excited about what I do. If I wasn't excited, I'll take my Bible and go home right now. I'm excited. I believe in what I'm doing. I believe it. I know Mrs. R., she's my best friend. She's my best cheerleader still. I mess up more. I probably fail God more than every one of you here put together this week. But she still loves me. And Jesus still loves me. Amen. So you start out with this powerful seed. And then you work toward the birth. You work toward the fruitfulness of that seed. God delivered the children of Israel in one day from the land of Egypt. I'm going somewhere. It took him one day to dig millions of Israelites out of the land of Egypt. And that was a great deliverance. They came by the blood of the doorposts. And God delivered them from death and delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. Moses was their Jesus. Moses was their deliverer. He brought forth those children out of the land of bondage. They left with much of the spoils of Egypt, the wealth of Egypt with them. When you left sin, you left a world behind you, a world that defined you, a world that imprisoned you, a world that kept you bound, a world that was your taskmaster, a world that controlled you. But now that you have come to Christ, all things have passed away. You are no longer a slave to that sin. I'm not saying that you don't fail and that you don't mess up, but it no longer defines you. It may visit you, but it'll never define you again because you have been set free. Amen. The children of Israel came out of Egypt free. Do you understand that? Free. The moment you turn your life to Jesus, the moment you give your heart to God, Jeremiah said, is the day that I'll be found of you. The day you give your life to Jesus was the day he came in and he started changing and rearranging. But he knew that you were a project in the work. How many know that everybody in here is a project in the work? Amen. God's not through with you yet. God's still working on me. He's still working on you. So we left Egypt in a day. And they were 11 miles from their destination. 11 miles. Think about that. Well, today walking, a good walker could cover 11 miles probably in a day, I guess. I don't know. Who's an avid walker in here, a runner? Miss Selena, is she here? Think about that. You could probably, if you could walk real fast and real good and you was real strong, you'd probably cover that 11 miles in a good day, okay? But listen, they were 11 miles from their destination, the promised land. And I've asked this so many times, and I'll ask it again this morning. It's worth repeating. How long did it really take them to get to their promise? 40 years. Everybody say 40 years. There's that infamous 40 again. 40 years it took them to get their destination. You know why? Because a whole generation died in that wilderness. They died under the heat of the desert sun because they failed to believe God. They failed to trust God. They failed to embrace their promise. They failed to embrace their potential, their purpose. They forgot when they left Egypt, they were people of purpose. They were people of destiny. I'm sitting here speaking to people of purpose and people of destiny. I'm sitting here speaking not just to people that are sitting in warming pews this morning, but I'm sitting here talking to life changers, world changers. I'm sitting there talking to people that have your destiny inside your womb. I wish somebody in this room would get with me this morning. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, I love it. I love it when I walk up to people like that and they go. It's like it's going to get all over them or something. You know what? God's people ought to have a good time. Listen, when you were eating Christmas dinner, I guarantee you wasn't sitting there sour-faced. Maybe you were. But I'll guarantee you were sitting there talking to people, chopping on that food, chopping on that cranberry, chopping on that turkey, chopping on that ham, talking a mile a minute, just listen, going at it, not even thinking about what you're eating, just having a good time with family and friends. How many knows what I'm talking about? God says you ought to have a good time just like that when you're standing feasting on his word, the bread of life. It's more essential to you than the necessary bread that you eat every day. Because it's going to carry you through the storm. It's going to get you up in the darkness. It's going to keep you going when you don't want to go. The bread is what sticks to you. How many knows that there's some food that won't stick to your backbone? That's what Grandma always said. Eat some food that'll stick to your backbone. Listen, the word of God will stick to your backbone. It'll give you something to stand on. Okay. Took them 40 years to get there. Whole generation had to die. Took them one day to get them out of Egypt. And it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of them. So you're a work in progress. You're in process. God's working in you. And he doesn't waste anything. He'll use your bad experiences. He'll use your good ones. And he'll use your total messed up ugly ones to get you where you need to go. Do you see that? Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? God, you are work in process. So in between that time of fertilization and fruitfulness, bringing forth, there's a lot of time and expectancy. And it creates this time, which is our, is in many of our cases, our worst enemy sometimes, because we don't like to do this. Tell me something that believers or anybody just doesn't like to do. Okay, let me hear it like you mean it. Oh yeah, we need that to be able. But when you pray for patience, you're going to get the other stuff that goes with it, okay? Because the other stuff is what develops the patience inside of you. It's a character that you need to be strengthened in your life. We all need to be patient. Listen, Job was a patient man. He was known for his tribulations, but Job was known for being a patient man too. But guess what got Job to the place where he became patient and able to wait? It was his tribulations. It was his trials. It was his troubles. It was his struggles. It was his suffering. It was his battles that got him there. God's getting you somewhere. This is what I'm saying. I'm not going to be lengthy here. So waiting. Everybody say waiting. Waiting is a difficult thing. Waiting is a difficult thing. Waiting on God is a difficult thing. Some of you have been praying for a long time for a need to be met, and you've prayed this prayer. And some of you haven't got your deliverance yet. Don't quit in your process. Don't quit in the journey. Don't give up in the journey. Don't give up in the process. Just because you don't have it in your hands, just because you're not experiencing the fruitfulness, doesn't mean the fruitfulness is not coming or there. You'll yield the fruitfulness. Just stay with the process. Everybody say, I'm staying with the process. I'm hanging on to what's hanging on to me. I'm hanging on to what's hanging on to me. I'm hanging on to who hangs on to me. Amen. And some of you in this room right here, you need to quit hanging on to people who are pulling you down. Oh, I know you're not going to like me for saying things like that. Oh, you just don't know Billy Bob. He's just the best thing that ever happened to me. And he's pulling your life down every day. He's pulling your life down every day. You don't need to hang on to the same things that keeps you from your purpose, that keeps you and that wants to discourage you in the process. Sometimes you've got to let things go in the journey heading to fruitfulness. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? So waiting. He that waiteth upon the Lord, God shall renew your strength. He that waits upon the Lord. And the word in Psalms 27, the psalmist described that as he that patiently expects the Lord. He that patiently expects the Lord. I'm expecting God while I'm waiting. When a mother starts, she knows that she's going to have a baby. She waits for that day to come. Come on, help me out, moms. Do you want to always stay pregnant? Oh, well, man, that's the strongest thing I've received here today. Let me say it again. Do you moms want to stay pregnant all your life? How many knows that you want to have that baby? Amen. You want to have that baby. Can I read Psalms? And I'm just flowing here. Is it okay? Is it okay? I'm just flowing here, all right? Everybody say, bless Pastor R. Let me tell you something. More than any other time, one of the most essential times that I need you is on Sunday morning. Because I'm pushing against hell to deliver this word. I'm in the delivery room and I'm the only one in there. Nobody's there. But I got this baby and I'm trying to push it out. And the Holy Spirit's saying, push! And I'm pushing. But how many knows? And your labor, you got to have people laboring with you. We don't labor alone. That's what the word says. We are co-laborers in Christ. We've been called to labor together. Shane, you've been called to labor us. Do you remember what a powerful word you spoke to that big old boy sitting right there? Do you remember that word that you spoke? He hasn't forgot it. You want to tell?
It's the first time I met you, Shane, and you said, and I think you had a similar experience with Dad, but you said that something leapt inside your spirit, and you wanted us to know that whenever we needed you, that you were there, and that you, whenever, how long it would be in the future, that you were there to go support and be a part of that.
And he has done that, him and Paula. They preach faithfully. They partner with us faithfully at the prison ministry over Northeast. And they've got a lot of things on their plate, a lot of things. They got a lot of things that they do. They have a church full time. They work and they minister in that church. But they're here this morning, co-laboring with us. Sometimes the laboring gets tiresome and wearisome. Are there real people here this morning? I said, how many knows that the labor gets tiresome and wearisome sometimes? Listen, carrying a baby a long time gets tiresome and wearisome. When you get later on in your pregnancy, listen, there's a lot of discomfort. Besides having 1,000 stretch marks and your physical body, but your mind and your emotions have been taxied for 9 months and you're extended and you can barely walk around, you know, and you're carrying this thing and I've got to bring this forth. And you are going to bring it forth and you are going to move forward. So if you have your Bible, turn to Psalms 27. Psalms 27. Hallelujah. Psalms 27. Are you there? 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Everybody say, wait on the Lord. And another translation, or the accurate word there, which means this, is expect the Lord. I'm expecting God to do things. I have this sense of expectancy. When I came this morning, I was expecting God to move. I was expecting God to supply His word. I was expecting the powerful atmosphere, praise and worship to break through the natural. I'm expecting things. I'm expecting things. Gabby, I'm expecting things. When you shared that word, You broke that word open, and with tears, with brokenness in your spirit, you shared that word, and you came, you packed that, you packed the word with you. Juwan, she packed yesterday. She was packing, and she walked into the house. She was packing that big gun, that word, you know, 66 books. She was packing that, and she broke open that word, and her spirit broke open as she was sharing that word. And she, when she shared that, she shared it with expectancy. When God spoke unto her life, he spoke unto her something, and she began to expect the fulfillment of that word. How many knows it's one thing to hear the word, it's another thing to receive the word, but then we've got to expect the word to do what God said the word would do. God said, I will send my word forth. It will accomplish wherever I send it. It will not fall to the ground. Every word of it will accomplish what I've sent it to do. Amen. So let me finish the scripture. I'm about preaching halfway through the scripture. Wait on the Lord. Everybody say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Say that with me. And he shall strengthen your heart. Again, wait, I say, on the Lord. Be seated. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Great things take time. Are you still with me today? Okay, stay with me just a few minutes. Waiting is hard. Process is hard. It's difficult. I've shared this so many times, and I'm going to share it again. You say, Pastor R, you keep repeating the same things over and over again. Well, it's time that you start doing the things that I keep repeating over and over and over again. And I'll stop saying them if you'll start doing them. How about a deal? Okay? We'll make a deal. We'll make a deal. I'll stop preaching the same things if you'll start doing the same things. Deal? So the process is hard. It's hard. It's hard. Jesus said, following me wasn't going to be an easy thing. It's hard. It's hard. It's difficult. If you're really about following Jesus and the cross is not just some pretty thing you wear around your neck to make you look cool. The cross was a symbol of death and suffering and sacrifice. There was nothing pretty tied to the cross. Do you understand that? And Jesus says, you can't even follow me unless you deny yourself and take up your own cross and follow me. So that's a place of death, sacrifice, and suffering. You'll never follow Jesus and have a bed of roses. You may see roses, but they're going to be thorns along the way. How many knows that? To get to the beautiful scent of the rose, you got to separate and get pricked by the thorns too. Life is full of thorns. It's full of challenges and difficulties. It's not easy. It's not easy. Yes, if you sit home and do nothing and set on your faith, I'm not saying that anything is necessarily hard. But if you will give your life away, if you'll give your life to Christ, if you'll sacrifice your life, you make yourself available, Jesus. There's nothing about that picture that Jesus said will be easy. When Jesus came to that seashore and he talked to those fishermen out in their boats, I knew, I didn't know so much then. I didn't understand so much then. But I know associated with following Jesus is often a time of rejection. It's often a walk of rejection. People will reject you. And Jesus said they won't. They'll hate you, not necessarily because of who you are, just because you bear my name. You're going to have haters just because you bear the name of Jesus. Oh, wow. My haters have to stand in line to hate me. Oh, but just watch out. If they only knew where I was going, if they only knew where I was headed, just stand back. So let me, I'm pushing, I'm still pushing. So here we have this paradox. Following Jesus, I've given him my life of sin. I have great peace and I have great joy. I have great comfort. I have great strength in knowing the Lord. But yet, I still have great opposition. There are people who are young in the faith say, Pastor R, I didn't have problems till I came to Jesus. Oh, yes, you did. Your problems had you so bound, you didn't know that you even needed Jesus at that time. And once you come to Jesus, the devil is opposing everything that God is for. He doesn't have anything against your personal DNA. What he has against is the purpose and plan and destiny of God you carry in your womb. You're a person of purpose and destiny. So, Jesus came to those fishermen and he said, follow me. This is what we miss in that scripture. Follow me, Shane. This is the part we leave out. Follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. But we leave this part out. Follow me and I will make you fishermen of men. Making something has to do with process. God loves you too much to leave you in the mess that you're in. And he uses life and situations and circumstances to extract from you the stuff that would only impede you and tie you up down the road. God loves you too much to leave you where you are. Does that make sense? So God doesn't waste anything. He'll use your junk, your circumstances, your problems, your situations. He'll use drama. He'll use everything he can. Listen, God don't create it, but he'll use it to develop you in the process. Listen, the wonderful thing that we know as olive oil is made in a press. It's made in the crushing. It's made in the crushing, Amanda. Oh, wow. Let me tell you something. You know where real believers are made? They're made in the valley. There's where you really grow. Somebody say, oh, I don't feel like I'm growing. I'm in this valley. I'm so deep down here. I don't believe there's any way out for me. I don't believe I can make it any further. Listen, and you're praying and you're seeking God and you're reading the word and you're finding the word and you're finding encouragement and you're drawing in and God's developing you. He's shaping you there like the clay upon the potter's wheel. But you know what? God is moving in your life. God is moving more in your life in the valley experience than he is on the mountain. Because when you're on the mountain, you're not growing. Things don't grow on the mountain. Things grow in the valley. There is where he feeds my soul. There is where he develops me, in the valley. But he didn't create you to stay there. Because life is about low places and high places. It's about ups and it's about downs. It's about ins and it's about outs. But God's always moving and he's always working. And he's always leading us and he's always directing us. And we're always going somewhere because we're people of purpose. We're people of mission. We're always moving because God is always moving. Amen. Even when you feel like he's not moving, God is moving. Amen. Even when you can't feel God, God is closer to you then than he ever has been in your whole life. God's holding you closer in the times of pain, the times of hurt, the times of heartache than he is when you're shouting, jumping up and down. You say, I feel so close to God. Listen, you're not really close to God there. God's closer to you in your valley, in your struggle, in the darkness of your process. Everybody with me? So the oil is made through the crushing of the olive. The wine is made through the press and the crushing of the grape. Breaking through that hard layer exterior of that hull around the center of which the luscious juice is extracted. But it's only through the crushing that is extracted. God's developing you. He's developing you. He's developing a ministry. He really is. I've known that from the beginning. Sometimes I get frustrated, and sometimes I get more frustrated with myself than I do with, okay. I get more frustrated with myself than I do sometimes you all. And you know, it's because sometimes I'm not processing it maybe the way that I need to process it. And I fail God. I fail God. Anybody in here real today? Anybody here ever fail God before? Anybody ever fall flat on your face? Anybody ever get tripped up? Anybody ever mess up? Anybody ever do that? Come on, be real with me today. But God doesn't leave you there. He loves you too much to leave you there. But God is developing in you. He's developing things inside of you. God loves you also too much to promote you before you are ready. I stayed in a ministry for 20 years, almost 20 years. And I did everything the senior pastor asked me to do. I set myself. I knew when I came there, I did not want title. I did not want accolades. I did not want recognition. I just told the pastor, "Pastor, I just want to sit here and learn." In that place that I humbled myself, it's a place that I found the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was a place that I wrapped my heart around true worship. It was a place that I learned about real service. I'd been preaching for 15 years. And not that I didn't serve in capacities in the churches that I had previously pastored. I was about that stuff. But mostly I was about myself. I didn't walk around with my chest stuck out. I didn't walk around all cocky and arrogant. I didn't walk around that way. That was not my nature. But inside I had this thing and you know I felt like and losing my family, nearly lost my family trying to win the world for Jesus. How many knows that doesn't work? But I learned about servitude. I learned about obedience. I learned about trusting God in the lean times, not just the good times. 2 years in that ministry, I didn't even want to pick up a Bible. I thought I was finished. I told Mrs. R one time, I said, "I'll never preach again." I didn't go to that church. I didn't set myself under that ministry because of moral failure. I went there because I had failed God in the sense that I had not built my life. My life was not in proper alignment. And so I set myself, hear what I'm saying this morning. This is important and somebody needs to hear that. So I set myself in that ministry and I ate humble pie and I listened to the word of God. I was like Camilla at Paul. I was like Mary at the feet of Jesus. I set myself in a place of instruction and I was allowed to be poured into because I needed that. I needed that, but it was all about process. And when I began to grow, when I began to grow in the faith, I began to move forward in my faith and I began to embrace the word again and begin to want to share. And I felt that stirring and I knew that God was saying, "Listen, that gift is not going anywhere. I put that gift inside you." Listen, some of you sitting maybe in a place of spiritual limbo right now, and you'll think, "Well, you know, I failed God at this level, or I've done this wrong, or I've done that wrong." Listen, your failures and your mistakes don't define what your future is about. God's only going to use it to develop you and to be in the warrior that you need to be on the real battlefield. Amen. And let me tell you something. If I had not stuck with the process then, I would not be here right now in this room talking to you right now. I promise. There were times I wanted to leave, but God wouldn't let me leave. God says, "You'll leave when I'm ready for you to leave." So I was asked to do what some would call boring, taskful things. So I was asked, I started to bring that stick. I have that stick, Mrs. R. You probably don't remember that. But I have a stick that's got a nail on the end of it. So the pastor calls me up. You got to hear what I'm saying. The pastor calls me up one Saturday morning. Said, Brother Jeff, I want you to pick up trash up and down Highway 58. I showed up to pick trash up, and I thought there would be a whole bunch of people showed up with me. I was the only one. Me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here I was, just like somebody working off their fines from incarceration, you know. Here I was up and down the highway picking up trash, putting it in the basket. Boom, boom, picking up trash, putting it in the basket. All up and down the road, and I thought to myself, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I about this right now? And you know, I need to be preaching the gospel. I need to be doing that. Doesn't the pastor now see that in me? At one time, I didn't want him to, but now, you see, I was moving forward in process, and you know, and I was wanting that, but he just asked me to do a menial task, and I was picking up trash beside the road and putting it in the basket, in the bag. And I said, Lord, why am I doing this? And God told me, and I'll remember that, because I want you to do that. So if we think sometimes serving by waiting on tables, serving by doing menial things that we think are menial things, don't ever think sitting in the face of a child that's broken and hurting that we bust in here is a menial thing. That's a high calling, brother. Let me tell you something. Billy Graham, at the age of 7, received Jesus into his heart at the instruction of a Sunday school teacher sitting in a class listening to that teaching of that gospel message. That man went on to change the world, and millions were led to Christ. Some people said, well, that's nothing. Sitting in a Sunday school class and teaching kids, that's the highest calling you could ever have on your life, is God entrusting you to teach children. Teaching school for about, I was about 25 years in, and I was about ready to retire. I wanted to retire, and I said, God, I don't believe I'm meant to be a teacher. God called me to the principal's office. Anybody in here ever been to the principal's office? I really was in the principal's office when I was a grown up. I teach in school, but I was called to go to the principal's office. And I sit under the counsel of a very knowledgeable woman who we love very much. And now she is the superintendent of schools in Dickinson County, whether you like her or love her or whatever. But at that point, she spoke a great word into my life. And I said, Miss Robinson, I'm done with teaching. I think this is not meant for me. She said, Mr. Reynolds, this is what you're supposed to do. God later confirmed that word to me when I said, God, I need to hear a word from you. And the Lord says, you wouldn't be about this today if you had not been about that then. If I hadn't have been about the classroom, I wouldn't have been about this right now. Some of my greatest instruction was teaching little kids who were considered misfits, kids who didn't have hope, kids who were broken, kids who came and their homes were all wrecked and ruined and torn up, kids who didn't have anything, kids who just needed love and needed kindness. And somehow or another, I thought that I was, that wasn't for me. Listen, friend, don't ever think what God has called you to do, no matter how menial it may be, it's important in the kingdom of God. It's about process, the process of you growing and going forward in your faith. Amen. Everybody shout amen. I'm about ready. So process takes time. I take time. Let me tell you a powerful verse of scripture, Mrs. R. Are you still with me? Sweetie, you're my best cheerleader. I need you, okay? Are you with me? Okay. Can I tell you something? Hang on. The Bible says that God is long-suffering and patient toward us all. God is patient. Whoa, it takes patience to deal with me. How about you? Some of you guys act like you already got your life together, so why am I even talking? I don't have any problems. I don't have any trouble. I'm not going through anything. My life is just a wonderful bed of ease. So, but God is patient and long-suffering toward us all, not willing that any perish. God doesn't want, He is about winning us all. He's about all of us having victory, all of us gaining. He's done everything at His hand to make ensure that we did have that victory. He gave His best to ensure that. But process takes time. It takes time. Say time. Now we're not very patient, are we? Will you be real with me? Be honest this next couple of minutes here. We're not very patient. Are you patient, my brother? You seem like a patient type. Or is he? Okay, he is patient. With you, okay. Let me share a story. This is a primary school story. So indulge me, okay? All right? It's a powerful lesson. Okay, here it is. Oh, this is one of, and I've shared this with some of you. Some of you read it. In fact, God gave me a confirmation yesterday because He sent this to me by somebody else. So I know it was meant for me to share it. And then I thought this morning, I'm not going to share that. So the Lord says, yes, you are. So somebody needs this morning. Because I see in you things that you don't see. The more powerful part is that God sees things in you that I don't see. And things in myself. And we've worked so hard at discrediting ourselves. Because we've lived in Egypt so long that it's really robbed us of our identity, our spiritual destiny. So a lot of times we struggle in who we are. Does that make sense? Yeah. We struggle in knowing who we are. Okay. So it's about process. And this is about expecting greatness. I'm expecting God to do great things in your life, and I'm expecting to do great things in this ministry. I love that story, Mrs. R. Before I share that, I can't get over Tommy Barnett. Is that right? Tommy Barnett? The Dream Church in Phoenix. Anybody heard Tommy Barnett? He's been around a long time. And he was on Hillsong, and he was preaching this powerful word. You know, I don't rarely listen to him. I used to more than that. But don't tell me the first story, the one that you shared. But I forget that. He was talking about his church and different people coming to his church. He says, we let anybody come to our church. Their busing ministry is powerfully strong, Josh. They bus people from the inner city, broken people, hopeless people, people who have no way and no contact. That is really the true definition of busing ministry, is when we go after people that otherwise could not be gone after. That's what true busing ministry is. And remember, I remember you telling me, Josh, a time or two, how powerful and how blessed you felt to be able to go get people to come. Think about this in heaven one day, brother. You'll stand before God and give an account, and you'll stand before God. And those people that you have brought that's come to this altar and gave their life to Christ, you know what? That's going to be accredited to your obedience, amen? Because you were willing to do something that other people won't do. Is it hard? Yes. Is it aggravating? Yes. Is it a mess sometimes? Yes. But it's worth it. How many knows He's worth it? Amen. So, he said, yes, we let everybody come to our church, Shane. We look drug addicts. We look prostitutes. We look gang members. They all come to our church. And what did he say?
And that's just the pastoral staff.
And Lord told me, that sounds just like Lost Creek. We've got a dream center here in the mountains of Southwest Virginia. We've got a dream. Why not? Why not here? Why not now, you knucklehead? Why not here? Why not now? I can only say that to you. God has destined purpose, greatness inside you. God has a dream so big that naturally speaking, you can't do that in yourself. Only with the help of the Holy Spirit. But it takes time. Everybody say time. So an elephant and a dog became pregnant at the same time. 3 months down the line, the dog gave birth to 6 puppies. 6 months later, the dog was pregnant again. And 9 months, and on, gave birth to another dozen puppies. And the pattern continued. And on the 18th month, the dog approached the elephant, questioning, "Are you sure you're pregnant?" That's the dog talking to the elephant, by the way, guys. Are you with me? Are you pregnant? Are you sure you're pregnant? Are you sure you're pregnant? We became pregnant on the same day. I've given birth to three times to a dozen puppies, and they're now grown to become big dogs, yet you are still pregnant. What's going on with this story? And the elephant replied, "There's something I want you to know, Mrs. Dog. I want you to understand this. What I'm carrying is not a puppy." Oh, what you're carrying is not a puppy. Whew. Oh, wow. So what you don't understand, I'm not carrying a puppy, but an elephant. I only give birth to one in every 2 years. Say time. It takes time for dreams and process to be worked through to bring you to the place of purpose and destiny in your life. God is faithful and He's continuing to work in you even when you think that He's not. Be encouraged today. Then she said this, "When my baby hits the ground, the earth feels it. When my baby crosses the road, human beings stop and watch in admiration." Whoa, did you see that elephant cross the road? Listen, I pass dogs every day, Erica. They run all the road. I have to dodge them to keep from hitting them. They don't even make me think of the time of day. But I guarantee if in the morning I'm going down the road and an elephant crosses in front of me, I'm going to stop and say, I'm going to get on the phone and say, "Mrs. R, do you know what just got crossed the road in front of me? An elephant. An elephant, Shane. An elephant." When my baby crosses the road, human beings stop and watch in admiration. What I carry draws attention. So what I'm carrying is great and mighty. And I'm about finished here. Hang on. So don't lose faith when you see others receive answers quicker. And it seems like other people are being blessed over you and you're being overlooked. You're not overlooked. You're in the center of God's perfected love and His will. Don't be envious of others' testimonies. You rejoice and shout when other people have their breakthrough, because your breakthrough is coming. You rejoice with people when they're excited about their family being saved. Don't sit there and be jealous and relent because God is blessing somebody and you don't seem to be blessed. You're blessed in so many ways, you can't even count the ways that you're blessed. Amen. My time's coming. Everybody say, my time's coming. And when it hits the surface of the earth, people are going to yield in admiration to the glory of God, to what God has done in my life and what he's continued to do. So let this encourage you this week. Let this encourage you as this new year comes forward to push forward. Don't compare your journey with someone else's because they're none alike. We're all headed to the same place. And we're all working for the same King. Amen. We're all his children whom he loves. Amen. Do you feel that? Do you sense that? Do you know that? Amen. Amen. Say, don't give up in the process. I'm a work in process. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Huh? Well, you were supposed to sing it. Come on. He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be.
Moon and the stars and the... How love and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
Can you come up here? Come here. Quick. Listen, I know this is going to be strange, but we're closing right here. Listen, you've been very patient with me this morning because I didn't think, I thought I would be quicker, through quicker, but that's all right. But I want you to listen. I want you to sing this song because God is working on you. You are a work in process. You're a work in process. And if you're here today discouraged, if you're here, first of all, and you don't know Christ, then today is your day to make him your Savior and your Lord. Come to him today and surrender your life to him. You're here not by happenstance or accident. You're here under divine direction and assignment. God loves you here today. He loves everyone in this room. He loves you in spite of your imperfections. He loves you warts and all. He loves you, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. He's taking you somewhere. So let's sing this song together, okay? Steve, I bet you knew that song. Yes, come on, Connie.